Podcasting 2.0 for November 22nd, 2024, episode 201, Fugue State. Well, hello, everybody, as we end the month of November, almost getting there. It's time for another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything that's really happening in podcasting, everything that has been, everything that is, and everything that will always be, it's all right here. We discuss everything happened at podcastindex.social, the secret WhatsApp groups, and yes, maybe even some namespace talk today. We are the only boardroom that will never send you a Zoom invite. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who can alias your table if you subscribe to our Podcast Plus bundle. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
What? Does anybody know the etymology of spill the beans?
It probably.
When somebody tells you to spill the beans, like what?
Well,
why is that a thing?
I think it was spill the beans. Now it's spill some tea, is what the kids are saying these days.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing on Power.
Hearing that on Power? I was listening to Power. I listened to Power.
Yeah, that's where James said he didn't understand the phrase spill the tea. And I was like, well, isn't it supposed to be spill the beans? And then I was like, well, where did that come from?
Well, let's see.
It's probably
spill
Dutch.
The beans?
It's probably. Doesn't it sound like a Dutch weird thing?
Let's see. The 1574 quote for spill it, meaning to divulge, let out. The spilling of beans endures with outside the U.S., blah, 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 blah. Popular folk for spill. Oh, here it is. A popular folk etymology for spill the beans claims that in ancient Greece, applicants for membership in secret societies were voted upon by having the existing members drop beans into an opaque pottery jar.
It just sounds so Dutch, like the literal translation of some Dutch thing would be like, let out the beans or something like that.
Let out the beans! No, I don't think that even, I can't even think of an equivalent in Dutch, honestly. Spill the tea. Let's see, where does this come from?
Yeah, release the beans.
Title, there we go, show title, release the beans.
We had chili last night. Melissa made a great chili, and I can tell you there was much bean releasing going on. You've been releasing the beans. Yes, ever since.
Let's see. Let me see. I don't have an etymology from really the tea. That's just the etymology of spill the tea is TikTok. There you go. It's done. Or Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't know. So I too was listening to James and Sam on the power hour.
I just want it to be called Power News Hour.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly. And this is the episode where James dropped a lot of boost bombs.
Boost bombs?
Oh, you didn't hear the whole show?
I'm getting close to the end. I skipped one of the interviews.
Well, he was dropping F bombs, but he replaced his expletives with a boost.
Oh, yeah.
With
a boost.
Yeah. So he was dropping boost bombs.
Yeah, and, I did hear that. I like that, by the way.
The boost bombs. Yeah, it's much better than beep. Or anything like that. And it could get people to donate. Although, you know, I sent 100,000 sats for the last episode, just like, hey, I love the show. And
to Power?
To Power, yeah. And I'm listening to the Boostagram corner and I don't hear anything. I go look, my podcast guru, which is connected to Albie, which is connected to my Albie hub, has been failing for about 2 weeks. And I can't get any info from the app, obviously, but I'm like, holy mackerel. And I had also did a mega massive boost to This Week in Bitcoin, same thing. I was like, this was my week, you know, like, hey, I'm gonna bless everybody with some.
This is my week. This is my week.
This is my week.
It's all about me.
This is my week where I'm blessing people with boosts. And they all failed. Boostgram, yeah. And then it started working again. As I was streaming sats, I'm like, no, this is, you know, the problem seemed to occur when I installed Albie Hub and hooked up my wallet. So I don't know. I don't know what that is. It could be a number of things. What was that little noise I just heard?
I think that came from me.
No, I think it came from me. It's interesting. I've been hearing this off and on. I wonder, you know.
I thought it came from IRC.
Oh, you're right. No, that's me. You are so right. Mute tab. There we go. That's my fault. Okay, thanks. That was an IRC blipple.
A blipple?
Anyway, I just wanted to say, because James is mad. You know, James is mad about people, about YouTube and the industry's going down the YouTubes.
I like Mad James.
Mad James is one of my favorite James.
It is.
I'm all in on that. Mad boost dropping James is my favorite.
Yeah, more of that, please.
Now, of course, this comes after the entire industry sucked off YouTube for years. Oh, yeah, it's great. We'll connect you. Yeah, we'll be able to upload. It was fantastic. Oh, YouTube does podcasts now. Oh, YouTube music is great. It was fantastic. So I think there was a lot of active participation.
It's the biggest platform for listening to podcasts.
Well, I have
based on every, you know, that's what every study claims to report. You know, and we did this work, what, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
We went through and showed that can't be the case, because only like 25% of the top shows are even on YouTube. And I went and looked at the view count for all the episodes, and they were like in the thousands.
Yeah.
That's a complete fabrication.
Well, lies, and damn statistics. But I want to say two things. I'd like to say this about that. This is a cycle. We've been through this cycle before. When podcasting popped, podcasting popped. A lot of excitement. Everything was groovy, was rocking and rolling. And then YouTube came along. And I can go through the whole cycle. We had venture capital investors. And right away, they're like, you got to do video. You got to do video. And the advertisers are like, you got to do video. You got to do video. And we switched everything to video, switched the name of the company from Podshow to Mevio, started doing video, losing our shirt on the cost, of course, because, you know, we had to make it as cheap as possible. And it took about 7 or 8 years. And then, boom, audio was back. And why was it back? Because of Serial. So people go not towards, so when I hear experts and pundits say, well, is whatever people call a podcast and is wherever the audience is. It's not wherever the audience is. It's wherever the content is. So if we have awesome content that people want and it's only on podcast apps, they will go there. That is the bottom line. It is not that the audience is by definition lazy, and that's not a put down. It's just normal. I've been looking at studies, and I'd love for a power and Angry James to that's now his new name. Angry James. Jangry. I'd love for Angry James. Jangry. He's Jangry. Another possible show title. Hold on a second. I'd love to know about these stats, because I still think there's a very high amount of listeners who will just go to a website or, you know, a show site and click on a play button and swah, and it's good to go. I don't think all podcasts that are with RSS feeds are necessarily listened to in a podcast app. I have enough evidence in my own environment to know. And a lot of people, you know, they just don't manage their experience that way. And just to have one place where you get your instructional videos, where you get your kid videos, we get everything else. Oh, there's podcasts. And this is where I get Joe Rogan. I think it's very understandable, but that doesn't mean that that's because people want video. It's because it's there, whether they're listening or watching. And I still put huge question marks behind the they're all watching on YouTube. I think there's a lot of listening going on.
I can tell you from my personal habits, I think you're 100% correct.
100%.
I think that wherever you have great content, people will jump over whatever hurdles needed to get.
Always.
And that is true with me personally, because one of my must listens every week is America This Week with Tybee and Walter Kern. I never miss an episode with it. That's on anybody's podcast list. There's probably what, maybe two or three podcasts that you really care deeply about and would be sad if they went away. There's, you know, most of them, like you may enjoy a lot of podcasts, but there's probably only maybe two or three that you really would hurt to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of mine. That's on my short list there. And so it's weird. So they publish one episode a week on Fridays, through Substack. And so I subscribe to it. I pay them, you know, $5 a month or whatever the subscription cost is. I subscribe to it. I've got a private feed for that. And I listen to that through my podcast app, through Castomatic.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also do a Monday night live stream that's only on
Monday YouTube. Night live.
Yeah. And that Monday night live stream is never published in the podcast feed. So it's only on YouTube, and I don't subscribe to YouTube Premium. So I can't listen to it in the background on a closed device. I have to keep the screen open and all the hassle that entails. Like you have to, so what I have to do is Tuesday mornings, I go and I start the episode playing on YouTube, and then I stick it in my pocket with the screen facing outward so that I don't accidentally hip bump the screen and touch an ad and then navigate away. All this nonsense. And every time, every few minutes, an ad plays and I have to go and skip it, man, it's the biggest pain in the butt.
Mm.
But I do it every single Tuesday because I love the content. I'm willing to make my life, you know, complicated because of this content. That you're right on with that.
So, examples from my own life, you know, Pivot, my hate listen on the media, my other hate listen, they're not on YouTube. They are very successful, highly successful in numbers and possibly money. I don't know. I don't care. But they're very successful. And, you know, people may access them through a web browser or, just clicking on something or maybe in a podcast app. But they're not on YouTube. They don't have video. So, you know, why are they breaking the mold? Well, it's because of the content. Whether you like it or hate it, if you want it, you're going to go get it where you can get it, which is, in this case, wherever you get your podcast, which is also on the website. So this is a cycle. And when we have another break, oh, by the way, proof is in the pudding. People actually paid money to follow Joe Rogan to Spotify. You couldn't get it anywhere else. Yeah. They paid money to go and follow him on Spotify in the millions. Now, Spotify had a flawed strategy in that regard, but that's because that content is what people want. So now if podcasters or anyone who's producing content, I abhor the creator moniker, if they want to upload to YouTube and build their audience there, and I know I'm sounding like Todd, I'm sorry, and with all the possible downside, like before I came to our church here in Fredericksburg, YouTube was their place. YouTube was where they put, Facebook. Facebook was where they put everything.
Oh, that's sad.
Sad?
Sad. That gives me shivers.
Yeah, and they built up a following. They were actively maintaining it. And, you know, once I got in there, I'm like, yeah, I want to see what you're all doing. And they get so many strikes. And
Facebook.
They've had to have, it was initially, well, you're playing music that isn't licensed. Well, believe me, these churches they pay up the wazoo for licenses to do exactly this. And in addition, Facebook also pays licenses, so it is well covered, but you got to go back. You got to go get your channel reinstated. Then it's like a short, that was politically motivated content. You know, something our pastor said about voting. You know, that strike and you're down. So if you want to live like that, okay.
If you want to know how that works, go talk to Brian of London and see his Facebook experience, led to a lawsuit.
Yeah. Yes. And his Twitter experience, et cetera, et cetera. You can say, well, you shouldn't have done that, but no, I mean, this is only going to get worse. And social networks are falling apart because of it. So it's people are building up audience and followers and profile. There have been over 42,000 harm reports put in on Blue Sky. Because they're losing
their mind over there. That place is ridiculous.
And X is no, but it all sucks. It all sucks. Uh-huh. And then what did they do? They took the basic premise of a news feed of RSS and they replicated that with algorithms. And if you don't have the algorithms, by the way, you won't be successful. I don't want to bash, but see Noster. Mastodon it's not an exciting experience. Mm-mm. Because there's no algorithm and the engagement it just doesn't happen. So more and more I see people going back to publishing on the web using stuff like Ghost and other publishing tools. I think we're going to see the same issues with Substack. By the way, whenever you are posting something and you use the company name as the name for what you're doing by saying, I wrote a Substack, you're in deep trouble. You're already giving up yourself to that company.
Yeah. Like a Medium article.
Same thing. And look how that turned out. It didn't turn out great. So a couple things about this. So the cycle, I've seen the cycle. I've lived in the cycle. Podcasting went from page one to page two to page 37 below the fold to gone in a matter of months. And it was all YouTube and the revolution and broadcast yourself. And the venture capital guys like, you've got to be like YouTube. You got to be like YouTube because they only follow, nonsense. And we didn't stick to our guns. And I think that was a mistake ultimately.
And in the meantime, and the result is you double your overhead and do not increase your subscribers or your pay at all.
Correct.
Your income.
Correct. And you can be demoted, deboosted, demonetized. All kinds of things can happen. That's just a fact of life and everybody knows it. So a number of people will think that this is the way to go. And we just have to sit and wait patiently. There will be some content, something that's amazing, and people will flock to it. And it will be audio only, and we'll have another resurgence, and the VC will come in there, and we'll have all kinds of things happening. It is a cycle. I've seen it. I've lived it. I got the T-shirt. I have the bumper sticker, the VHS version. I have everything. Everything.
It also feels like we're at the end of a... It feels like we're at the end of a podcast sort of... epic, maybe. I'm not sure what term to use for this.
A season.
We're at the end of a podcast season.
Yes.
Where the popularity of the current formats, not just interview, but there's a few different formats like watch, episode rewatch, television rewatch, podcast. Like there's all these formats that have just been sort of boilerplate formats. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a lot of those, like Ashley Carman had an article yesterday about it in her newsletter about how these interview shows are starting to just kind of wane.
Sure.
Because people are just tired of the listeners are tired of listening to them and the podcasters are tired of doing them because it just feels like this sort of like, churn, this wheel that you keep spinning. Oh,
yes. And then we have the culture war economy podcasts and they all go on each other's shows.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like we're at the end of that season where I look forward to what new formats may emerge gets tired of this.
I think we accidentally took our own advice and created something that may be the next version of this, combining mission specific applications and hyper local podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd just like to talk a little bit about that, which is our super secret project.
SSP.
And in a nutshell, it is a mission specific podcast player that is managed by someone who has a live stream. And the live stream is meant to drive people to the podcast player. so they can, so you can have one type of content or maybe all of this content, whatever you want on the, it's very much like the No Agenda Stream format in a way, where the No Agenda Stream, if you've never listened to it, noagenda.stream, it's 24 hours a day of podcasts that I'd say about, I don't know, Sir Bemrose might know, probably about 40% stream it live, maybe less, but about, I think about 40%. And people have a chat room, which it changes names. So it's the troll room for No Agenda. It's the boardroom for Podcasting 2.0, though we have a sub channel, a sub chamber. And the referral is, so you listen to that in your player, wherever you get your podcasts, and you refer back to that, and there are the podcasts that are either on it. So if you missed it, you can pick it up, and it's there, you know, it's not just an open player that has everything. It's very specific, and it's kind of, it's programmed just like No Agenda Stream is programmed. Sir Bemrose programs that stream, and there's a,
it's
grid.
A lineup.
It's a lineup. Yeah. It's a clock. And so we've accidentally kind of taken, so in that case, the hyper-local part is a relatively small No Agenda Nation audience, which, you know, with the next program becomes Nick the Rat Sewer, or the next program becomes Darren O'Neill's Rock and Roll Pre-Show, or the Grumpy Old Bens, or the Grand Old Dames. You know,
Bowls with Buds.
Bowls with Buds. And it becomes hype. These are very hyper local because these are hyper local podcasts of communities of interest.
Right.
And what
right.
we're doing is literally geographic locations, hyper local. And it's mission specific. Do you think that's a pretty good explanation of what we're doing?
Yeah, I think so. It's like yeah, the ability to create, you know, to create a player that has a, it, you can turn, well, I'm trying to figure out the right way. I think you described it well. I'm trying to figure out how to sum it up. You could say it in a single phrase, maybe, you know, you can turn anything into a radio station.
Yes.
Yourself, your sort of group that you hang out with, your church, your neighborhood, like you can turn anything into a radio station by just adding these shows to your lineup and having a live stream to go with it.
Yep.
Everybody can be a radio. Well, everybody's got transmitters.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Everybody's got receivers.
Yep.
In your pocket, which are podcast apps, and everybody's got transmitters available to them with podcasting. So then
it's a programmable transmitter.
It's the station. This is the station.
Yes, the station. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll be talking more about that as time progresses.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk for a second about a general demure, very thoughtful, very demure attitude amongst some developers and podcasters who feel that, they're feeling somewhat dismayed. Some are feeling disillusioned, and I troll on the Telegram group, so I can get a pretty good feel of what people are thinking. And part of this is the Albipocalypse, which is not important as to what happened there or what's happening. It's clearly not working out for podcasting. Although I think they generally have the good intentions for podcasters. But for podcast app users, is really not a solution. And just as you, amongst your three existing job, were about to code up a new example of how we could move forward, boom, Oscar pops in. Now, I know he was going to be on the show today. He's going to be on the show next week. But I would like to give everybody a little boost.
Boost!
Just by explaining what he did. Can we share this with people? Can people take a look at this? I mean, it's public. I presume he meant it to be public.
I told him that I would paste the link into the boardroom instead of like saying it on the show. That way we get intentional tests. Yeah,
that's a great idea. Shall I do it right now or you got
I'm doing it. I got it.
All right.
Let's see.
So what this is for the listeners out there, this is a mock-up, but it works, of boosting a podcast by connecting a rando Strike wallet. Now, we've been just discussing Strike as a possible option for simplicity's sake for people who just want to get into it and just want to do some boosting and want to get into value for value without too many hiccups and difficulties and misinterpretations. And I think it's undeniable that the Strike wallet, the Strike app, is very consumer friendly. Did you go through a KYC with them? I didn't get a KYC. I was just able to connect it and it was fine.
You mean when I connected to the test app?
When you connected to your card or your bank or whatever.
Oh, back in the day when I set it up so long ago, I don't even remember. Me and you were, I think we were in the beta of Strike. I mean, we were very early.
Yeah. So it's, for all intents and purposes, it works just like Venmo or Cash App. And I actually hope that this same system will be able to set up with Cash App and possibly, I think PayPal is talking about doing something. Mm-hmm. And so they do not do Lightning. I mean, they do not do Keysend. The Keysend seems to have just been deprecated into the depths of Bitcoin hell. Which is understandable. Bolt 12 is on the way and Bolt 11. Yeah. And now we made that choice early on for a number of reasons. Those may be anachronistic at this point.
Possibly.
So, but when you get a Strike wallet, it's quite simple to set up. You can look at your funds in fiat or in Satoshis. You can buy and sell Bitcoin there. It's all in one place, so there's no third-party app you have to go to. You can hook it up directly to your bank account the way you do with Venmo. And it is a rather large corporation that I think people feel comfortable with and trust with their information, their credentials, and their money.
Right.
And what Oscar has done here is he's created an example where you can connect your Strike wallet to this boost page, which would be an app. And in the background, it's just doing the Strike wallet does it very nicely. You enter in your email address that you use for your Strike account. It emails you a code. You put the code right into the website and you're done. You're connected. You're done.
Yeah, you're OAuthed.
You're OAuthed right away. And he put in this example the podcast LN address spec. And I've tested it, and it works flawlessly.
Yeah, works great.
Do we need to add some more here?
Let me step back for a minute, if you will indulge me.
Can I add one more thing before yes. I step yes. back and give you the floor and the microphone, the headset. It's a headset. It's a headset.
thank you.
You can use the Strike wallet solution both directions. As a podcaster, you can also use that with your Strike LN address, LN URL address, LN, what is it? LN address.
So you can also,
Lightning address. So you can also receive and send from the same wallet, which will make it very, very comfortable for artists and new podcasters. Of course, all of this leaves the sovereign people completely free to do it however they want to. There's no downside to you hosting your infrastructure and your wallet yourself. I'm stepping back. Here's the headset.
Thank you. Wait, one second.
What are we drinking? Pabst?
So LaCroix Pure. Mm. I'm back to the non-flavored. I'm off the wagon for the moment.
Oh, all right.
So this page is taking advantage. Let me back up for a second. We gotta like move up a couple of notches here. the first of all, Cotton Gin in the boardroom is saying that Breeze, of course, still works with all this stuff. That is correct. Yes. Breeze is unaffected by any of this. So that is always, you know, Breeze is always an option. It's a standalone node on your phone. It can, it's impervious to you know, things, ripples.
If I really want to make sure that a big boost goes through, I usually do it from Breeze.
Yes, that's, it's, you have a node in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You also have a very hot leg, but you have a node
there's
in your
that.
Pocket.
There's that.
So, but stepping back for a second, the Alpypocalypse has been pretty depressing to me. And I've, you know, probably mentioned that before, that it feels like, I always hate it when it feels like we've made a lot of progress and then you realize you have to kind of start over from scratch almost. And mm-hmm. Whenever I think, you know, I get wrapped up in this other project we're doing and in namespace stuff and all these kinds of things. And then I think about the value tag and what's going on with Albi, and I just get into sort of like a fugue state. I'm just kind of like,
fugue spell.
Oh, I don't know how you spell F-U-G-U-E, I think.
And can you use it in a sentence?
Yes. When Dave thinks of the Alpypocalypse, he enters a fugue state.
Fugue. Definition.
It's in the DSM-5.
DSM-5. here we go. One that drives away. Ooh. Fugue. Hmm. Do we pronounce it fugue or fuge?
Pretty sure it's fugue.
Okay.
A fugue state, also known as a dissociative fugue or psychogenic fugue, is a rare psychiatric condition where a person experiences amnesia and ends up in an unexpected place.
Goodness gracious. Do you need a wellness check?
People in a fugue state may not remember who they are, their past experiences, or how they got to their current location. It's also known as taking an Ambien.
Oh, no. It's F-U-G-U-E.
Yes. Yeah.
Fugue state. Okay. Another good show title.
So I just kind of feel like, you know, like I don't even want to think about it because it's the whole thing's annoying. But then this is really for the best. Honestly, if we're just looking at it, if we're giving ourselves tough love, this is a good thing. Because when you have what we make is protocols, first of all. We don't create products. That's not what podcasting 2.0 or the namespace, that's not what that is. We write specs. We don't, I don't say that we write standards. I don't really like that terminology. No. We write specs, we write protocols, we write the things that we publish, the things that help people do the things we value, features and new functionality. And in that sense, if one of the things that we write ends up completely dependent upon the good graces of a single company or person or entity, that's just not a long-term sustainable thing.
No.
And that's what happens. That's what happened with Albi, specifically on the listener side.
Yeah.
And that's all we're talking about here. Albi on the receiver side, on the creator side, that's never been a problem and will not be a problem in the future.
And their Albi Hub is greatly appreciated, open source. There's no doubt about it.
Yes. The problem that was run into is the Albi API replaced LNPay on the listener side, because in order to make this all work, you have to have a listener wallet. Every podcast app listener has to have a wallet tied to their podcast app in some way. And that became, because it was so easy and free and simple, it became just a standard that all the, any app that wanted to have a listener wallet so they could pay podcasters, other than Breeze and Fountain, those stand alone, they're their own thing. But everybody else started using Albie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always shaky ground to be on, because Albie is a company.
And I think I said this time and time and time again. Yes. Time and time and time again.
Yes, Albie's a company, and they have to respond to the way companies do. When the bottom line, you know, comes into play, you got to pivot. When legal issues come into play, you got to change things.
And that's what this was. It was mainly regulatory, legal issues, mm-hmm. money transmitter issues, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. And so so long term, and it also set up a little bit of a sort of an unhealthy dissociation between the listener's true source of funds and the way that they send. So we always had to go through this strange connection where you have, where, okay, I've got Castomatic, and this is apropos because Franco's going through this right now. He's trying to figure out what he's going to do to replace Albie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have Castomatic, and it has an Albie wallet attached to it. Well, I want to get some sats in there so I can stream sats and pay podcasters. And in order to do that, I have to go over to some other third thing like Cash App or Strike and then send those sats to Castomatic so that I can then send them to the podcaster.
Yes, that was always a big hurdle.
Yeah, because you have this weird hop in the middle that's sort of unnatural. It would always be better if your original app that hold your main wallet could be connected just straight to your podcast app. It would be like connecting your, if this was all done in fiat, it would be like having been able to just say, okay, connect my podcast app to my PayPal account. And I'm just going through an OAuth and I'm just going to send you some money. And so that's what this thing is that Oscar has created. He's created an example page where you hook your Strike account through OAuth directly to a podcast app. In this circumstance, the podcast app is just a web page, and it's not playing anything. It's just an example, but you can think of the page itself as if it were a podcast app. And he's taking advantage of the new thing, the new changes we put into the value recipient tag a couple of months ago, with the LN address type. So now this is not using keysend, this is using LN address. And so if the type of the value recipient is LN address, then you can put the address in there. In this case, any Lightning address. So some like fountain@strike.me is one of them, and boostbot@fountain.fm is another one. You can put in an address, and it could be dave@getalby.com. You know, that's any Lightning address. Then when you go to pay it, when you put in your amount, put in your message, your name, all that kind of stuff, and then you pay the amount, what it's going to do is create two, it's going to communicate with your Strike wallet and it's going to calculate the splits. So if I put in, you know, 100 sats and these two splits, 90 for BoostBot, 10 for Fountain, it's going to peel off 90 sats for BoostBot, 10 sats for Fountain, create two transactions, two LN URL pay transactions through Bolt with just standard Bolt 11 invoices and pay each of those. So on your Strike history, once that payment is completed on your Strike history, you will see in there two payments, one for 90 sats to BoostBot and one for 10 sats to Strike, to Fountain. So this is a way to go forward where we don't have to rely on keysend support and we don't have to rely on the sort of goodwill or good intentions of one single company. This to me is the way forward, I think. And it's not without its own problems.
Well, can I ask two questions about as the retooling for this?
Sure.
So, the first question is, an app, let's say I use Podcast Guru, and Podcast Guru will retool to connect my Strike wallet. If I come across a value block that has a key send, I can't key send. So can you now, does the spec allow for multiple types of payments so that I could say, you can key send me at this node address, or if you don't have that capability, app user, then you can LN address me?
Yes.
Okay. Second, if I want to have LN address on my node at home, is that something that's easy to do, or is that complicated? I'm presuming it will work with Albi Hub, actually.
If you connect through
the Albi service, but to do it by myself at home, a little more complicated, no?
If you just had an LND node straight up,
yeah,
and sort of nothing in front of it, I think you would need to use something like LN bits to get a
yeah
LN URL layer in front of
it. Nathan G, no, this does not preclude streaming sats. But I think most apps are already batch processing,
right?
And so it won't be per minute. You can still, the app can probably still report it to the sender as what you sent per minute, but it'll be batched and sent at every 5 minute intervals or something like that. But it doesn't preclude that at all.
And you could try to do a per minute send with Strike's wallets too. I don't know if they have a rate limit on their API or anything. It makes more sense to do batch. But no, yeah, you're right. Nothing precludes this from per minute.
And eventually, Bolt 12 may pop up and be groovy and usable. I don't know. We'll see.
The only benefit that we get from Bolt 12, and this has to be clarified. The only benefit that we get from Bolt 12 over the current spec is that Bolt 12 doesn't need a web server on the LND node.
Right.
It gets rid of the HTTP layer and just it does essentially the same
as key send
as LN. You know, it does the same as LN URL.
Right. But I'm saying you don't need to have an address. You just have some kind of invoice, and it just reuses that same invoice over and over again. You don't have to. It uses the Lightning Network to resolve, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You get an invoice. You get an open invoice that, and then when the paying node sees that invoice and goes to pay it, it sees that it's Bolt 12, and it does a back and forth with the receiving node to get what's called a blinded route and work out and get the receiving node to generate a pre-image so that it can pay it. It's basically exactly like LN URL, except it all takes place over native Lightning instead of through HTTP.
So to get started on the podcasting side, it is, I'm not sure how it works, but the value block, if I'm entering I have a 50% split on a show, I can add in two different methods for that 50% split, or how does that look in production and functioning?
Say that again. I'm not sure I followed 100%.
Okay. So I still want, as we transition, I want to move my payments to my LN address, but I don't want to lose out on people who are still trying to key send me.
You can have both in the spec. Let me jump over to the spec real quick just to make sure I'm quoting it correctly. Value spec. Okay. So you can have so the way this works is your well known response for the Lightning address lookup responds. I'm confusing myself here. I don't know. I'll have to figure this out and write it up in a way that makes sense because there's the LN address has sort of a custom, we call it like a custom response. So you've got two options for the type. You've got node, which can be the Lightning node address. That's for key send. And then you have LN address. And so the full documentation for the LN address is it shows what's supposed to be there in the response. And people are asking in the boardroom, you know, what do you need? Does he have to have LN bits? No, I just used LN bits as an example because it supports LN URL.
It's Strike Wallet, just to keep it simple. You can use there's all kinds of solutions, but you can use your Breeze wallet. I mean, that accepts it too. You can send from Strike to Breeze just by using your Breeze LN address. That all works flawlessly.
I think the answer to your question is you're going to have to choose one or the other.
Okay.
But see, that's in the RSS feed because you just have to choose one or the other in the feed because once you switch to LN address as the type, then when your LN URL, excuse me, when you do the dot well known lookup, the dot well known lookup can include key send data. So what you're doing is you're sort of, this is why it was confusing a while ago when I tried to explain it. You're abstracting the payment methods from the recipient's address.
Got it.
So you're going to do, you know, if you have, let me go back over to this example page from Oscar. He's got type equals LN address and address equals boostbot at fountain.fm. So he's going to do a lookup for the dot well known of boostbot at fountain.fm. When he gets the return information for that address, it can include bolt 11 key send and bolt 12
right,
info.
Right,
in
right, right. Okay. So the question is it easier for the apps to retool to LN address and not necessarily, I guess it doesn't make any difference because they have to resolve that anyway, right?
The dot well known.
Yeah, but see, I don't control the dot well known for my Strike wallet.
But you don't. But you don't have to. But I mean, that's the receiver. Are you talking about if you switch to using Strike as the receiving entity?
No, if I'm the receiver. And there's going to be people who use two apps that have this built in that understand how to connect to Strike. I'm just using that as an example. Can be many others. Okay. And so that will be sending to wherever my LN address is. But I have to control that LN address information to put in alternative methods.
Right. And you're talking about using Fountain, excuse me, using Strike.
No, it doesn't matter. Using Strike for the receiving end, I cannot control what's in the LN address information. It's not going to, it can't even receive
key send.
It can't receive key send. So somewhere I need an entity to create my LN address and the information that's contained in it.
Right. And so for Strike, let's say you're a podcaster and you want to receive payments at your Strike address, and you would put a split in for yourself and just do LN address and your name at strike.me.
Right, right, right.
And but that's going to have a .well-known response that will provide an LN URL payment method.
Right, but it would be silly for me to use that right at this moment because I would miss out on apps that are still using KeySend.
Yeah, until January.
What happens in January?
Well, I mean, that's when Albipocalypse happens.
But I have my own node. That's my point. Right,
but nobody can send you anything after that except people on. So here's the landscape.
Okay.
The landscape on January the 26th.
KeySend basically goes away from our universe.
Pretty much. Okay. The landscape is going to change, and what you're going to be left with is you're going to be left with Fountain, Breeze, and nothing else. So Fountain understands how to pay this already. So if you switch this information, then you're not going to lose anything through Fountain because Fountain already supports it.
Right. Got it.
So then any apps that are retooling at that point, they will retool to support Bolt 11. So switching to LN address you're not going to lose anything because you weren't going to get anything anyway.
Got it. Okay. So now the question is, can we convince everybody to retool?
I don't know.
All right.
I hope.
I hope so too. I
mean, because Lightning is still the only way to do
what we do.
Micropayments.
So, on that tip,
in a decentralized way. I know other people are doing it, but in a truly decentralized way where we're not dependent
with the lowest fees possible for micropayments. This is the big part.
Right.
Yeah, you can't send 50 sats value with your Visa card or your Apple Pay.
Right. Like TrueFans is doing their thing, but that's within TrueFans' ecosystem. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that they've got virtual wallets and these kinds of things. I'm just talking about cross app,
decentralized,
agnostic Lightning. Yeah. Stuff. This is the only way to do that. Yes.
How hard will this be for developers who are currently using the Albi API to retool to Strike or others?
So that's going to be the next question.
That's why I asked it. I nailed it.
Oh yeah, you did. I just restated what you just did. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that's going to be the next question. I should have said that is the
correct.
Question you
that's
just
the
asked.
Next question.
Let me say this about that.
Please do.
Let's see. So Franco reached out, Castomatic, and he was like, you know, I'm looking at Strike's API, but there's a small problem with Strike is not available in Italy.
right.
And so I'm like,
yeah,
you know, supposedly they had this big Strike, you know, big launch in Europe.
Mm.
Was it like a year ago or mm-hmm. I don't know how many months ago? Well, mm-hmm. evidently, Italy's not part of Europe because
no, you know. no, of course not.
So I don't know. I mean, this is a question I don't know at this point. We've also got the thing I haven't been able to get to yet is, you know, still Zebedee. Zebedee's right. also an option, and they that may come in, and then you've got this universal money thing. I don't know the answer to these questions. That's the part I don't fully understand how to address yet. I'm hoping that maybe we can talk about it with Oscar a little bit next week.
Let's see. I wonder if Cash App has a Lightning API.
I know they have a Bitcoin. I know you can access the Bitcoin part through their API. I don't know that it's specific. I don't know about the lightning thing. I'm not sure. I did pull up their documentation the other day because I'd already cloned a skeleton app and I was about to start coding when Oscar literally sent me an email and was like, "Hey, I've got this thing done." I was like, "Oh,
beautiful.
God bless you."
Yeah.
Hey, amen. So I don't specifically know about that, but, I think we're just going to have to work through it. I mean, and that's the thing is that's why I started this by saying that I think we're going to ultimately be in a healthier place. When all this sort of turmoil levels out, because, at the end, you know, at the end of all this, what we're going to be left with is different people doing different things with different APIs. And that's better.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's not just hitched to the same wagon.
Right. Completely agree.
It's going to be messier for sure. For sure. It's going to be messier. But messy is kind of an advantage when it comes to open source.
Now there's a bumper sticker. There's a t-shirt too. Messier is better with open sourcers. Do it messier.
Messy is our advantage. But you know, that's so like, take Jupiter Broadcasting. Okay. A show like Coder Radio right now, they're going to lose any listeners that were not on Fountain. That's going to be or Breeze. That's going to be the immediate consequence. But a large part of their user base, their listener base is on Fountain, and that will just continue to work.
Right.
They're still going to be streaming SaaS. They're still going to be getting boosts. Like, it's just not going to be a problem for them.
So that's an interesting chicken and the egg problem here. Very interesting. Because you're going to get, at a certain point, you're going to get bigger publishers who say, okay, I'm using LN address and here we go. And then apps will fail if they're, well, as you point out, apps will start failing in January anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. That's,
we're all in the same boat.
I use Castomatic. It's my daily driver and Castomatic is hooked to Albi and that will stop working. And it's just not going to work after that January drop dead date. So I either at that point have to switch to a different app to pay, or Franco, comes up with a solution. And
well, there are definitely Albi-like solutions for Franco, but not Strike-like solutions. So there are, boardroom? Someone sent me this. What are all of the Nostr clients moving towards? Like, is it OpenCoin or something?
I don't know.
I think it's not OpenCoin. There was something that people were gravitating towards. Can't really remember. But they're having the same problem. Nostr has exactly the same problem. But they already use LN address. Don't they?
Yeah, it was built on LN URL to begin with.
Right.
And I still think Keysend is superior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I just do. I still have a fundamental problem with having to get the receiver to invoice you before you can pay them. I think
agreed.
That's just
agreed.
A terrible design, but, but it's what we have. So, we gotta figure that out.
CoinOS.io.
What is that?
The Nostr people are moving towards.
But what is it?
It's a lightning system, a wallet system.
Coinos?
Yeah, coinos.io.
Coinos.
Their
website is a blank black page. Okay.
Something popped up for me. I don't know why you're getting a blank page.
Oh, wow, it just took a long time. Okay.
Because the whole boardroom went to it. That's why.
Oh, okay. The easiest way to get started with Bitcoin, a free web wallet and payment page. Well, that's there you go. I mean, that's the thing is there's going to be different solutions.
Yeah.
And that's better.
Yes.
Coin OS may last for a couple of years.
You never know.
And then go belly up, you know, or switch or who knows. And then, you know, but I don't know. I feel better if you're in a location that can handle something like Strike or Cash App. I feel better about that because those are larger invested companies. They have a stability. Or if you're hosting your own, that's your options. And
yeah, well, we do have a bit of a sub thread running through all of this, which is the Sovereign Group. Yep. Who I already see it in the boardroom, who hate the fact that we're involving big companies, hate this. It's not the Bitcoin ethos. But as you pointed out at the beginning of this, we don't create products. We create methods to do it. And there will be people who want to use Monero. I know there's development going on. I don't know if they'll ever deploy, but I know they're working on it. And people might wind up using a Visa card for all I know. I don't know. So it's an open spec. You can put in there whatever you want. But I'll tell you from my perspective, the people that listen to my shows, if I give them Strike Wallet and say, this is it, you connect it to your financial world in these ways, and then you just connect it to your podcast app, they will be delighted because that two-step process that you mentioned, that has always been a huge detractor.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's not just a detractor. It's hard to explain.
Yeah. You're like, why am I doing this again?
Because it's just such a foreign experience, you know, it's not how anything else works. And so that's always been this kind of weird thing. And also in the background of all this is, and another thing I want to talk to Oscar about next week is L402.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's also a thing that we're talking that Russell has finalized the spec for. And I finally got time, you know, I got time to read over it this week and it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, and we can do funding tag work. Mm-hmm. You know, we can make the funding tag support like a Bolt 11 invoice or whatever.
Yep. And so I want to express my deep, deep gratitude towards Oscar for doing this. He didn't have to do this. It's actually creating competition for him, which I think is just so 2.0 of him to say, you know what, I need to help everybody and get everybody back on track. And as you know, we explain that if it's just Fountain, you know, we don't really have much of an ecosystem. And so for him to do that, and it was just time for him. No one else did this. No one. A lot of complaining, a lot of Albie bashing, but no one stepped up. And so I really appreciate that. And I am delighted and I can't wait for it to be implemented because I want funds to be flowing. And, hey, if you're one of the apps that I use, Podcast Guru, if you think you need a certain percentage for the extra work you did, go at it, add a fee. I'm happy to pay it. Happy, delighted. If you need me to pay something,
let's not forget Wavelake is out there too as well.
Absolutely.
With their app.
Yep.
And so there's a thing. I mean, it's not like everything falls apart. The problem is everybody outside of the sort of sovereign and which everybody outside of the sovereign world / Zebedee Fountain Wavelake world, they're the ones that are going to have we're all the ones that are going to have to try to figure out different solutions,
which is where the growth is. The growth is in getting more people in, and my recommendation is get them in, get them using it, then orange pill them, not the other way around.
It's been a crazy it's been a crazy thing to see Bitcoin like tickling 100,000. The like people don't understand deflationary money. I think it's just such a an odd thing that we're not that none of us are used to. That we're used to we're used to the same product costing you more over time. Mm-hmm. Out of, you know, outside of technology, which has been deflationary, but that's really leveled off too. Technology is really no longer deflationary. It's more kind of steady state at this point,
except for AI. That's inflationary. Yeah,
true. That's inflationary. But as far as like looking at your, you know, everybody just knows that holding cash for a decade is a losing proposition. Mm-hmm. But the idea of the money being deflationary, where, you know, if you started accepting streaming sats on your podcast 2.5 years ago, and let's say over time you made $5,000 in US dollars terms, in if you look at your wallet now and you didn't get rid of that, you just held on to it, you've got $25,000 or $30,000.
Yes, sir.
And now you keep if Bitcoin continues to climb over, you hold it for another year, you may be looking at new car or down payment on a house type money.
If I can add one other extra thing, I think I have not put this to the test yet, but I believe with the Strike wallet, I can convince JCD to accept Lightning payments, meaning we can promote it on the show as a way to support No Agenda. You think that would make a difference?
Yeah.
I think it would make a huge difference.
For sure. And that's maybe this show and a couple of, maybe this show and No Agenda, if we can put them all together as sort of flip overs where we convert to Ellen address and really go with the new format, that may really help to have those, have us driving that.
Yeah.
You know, because that gives everybody something to test against and all of that. And because nobody else has to change their show necessarily. I don't know, I'm thinking all this through in real time.
Well, I can tell you one thing that we're going to have to figure out.
All right.
The information sent in TLV records. So when someone, someone boosts our show, and Eric PP, I see your eyes rolling up in your head. When someone boosts our show, I need to know what the full amount was before the splits. And I don't think that's not something I'm going to receive with the Ellen URL method.
Yeah. And I think we'll probably get into that next week with Oscar. That's good. Those are the good technical details to get into so we can pave the way forward. Cause that's the point at which we probably needed to see, this is all long time coming stuff.
Yep.
We always have known that we've needed to divorce the metadata and the payment proofs from the payment.
Yeah.
Because inlining it inside the payment envelope was always, that's how you get spoofing.
Yeah.
So all of this is just the time to fix all of this stuff.
We have 2 months.
go.
I will say, having onboarded an artist in this past month, and with onboarded, I mean, hey, Costellos, take care of this girl, will you? That's how my onboarding works. Yeah. Suzanne Santo, who is, you know, she's had a record label. She tours. She does lots of gigs. She's a buddy of mine. Her husband is Nick Pizzolatto. He's a pretty well-known producer. He did True Detective, concepted it, wrote it, directed it, all 3 series. He's doing movies and all kinds of other stuff. And she really believes in the music. And so I turned her on to what we were doing in the Valueverse, and she released a song, which I'm about to play. You can hear my cool little switchover and segue.
I was tracking.
Yeah. And I played it on Boost the Grand Ball, and within 5 minutes of the show, she says, Adam, thank you for including me in your Boostagram ball today. So far, I've accumulated $7.77, which is more than I've received from Spotify after 28,000 plays. I think that kind of explains it all, doesn't it?
Yes. That's the experience of every single music artist we've heard from. Every single time they say the same thing.
So, you know, so this is the type of love I like to see. This is the kind of thing that we can do for artists, of course, but also for podcasters. And while we're on the topic, I might as well play this song, which I think will be the title song to a movie that her husband Nick is doing. Suzanne Santo and Worried. Booster, will ya?
I worry. I let you take the wheel, then you drove me crazy, made me feel the way you feel. Now I'm all mixed up and stranded, and I don't know what's real, and I'm worrying about if I'm chases where I am, both criminal and caught. I run myself in circles around what I'm not, worrying about problems that I've got. Cause I love you, take the wheel, then you drive me crazy, make me feel the way. Stranded, and I don't know what's real, and I worry about if I'm gonna
Are you healed yet?
That's a great tune.
Isn't that beautiful?
I dig it, man.
Yeah.
I love the fuzz.
Yeah, kind of explosive there about two thirds of the way in. Yeah, I like it.
And that had a like a what's that woman's name? It's not Demi Lovato. It's I always get them. No, it's I always get these two people mixed up.
Whitney Houston.
No,
come on, try. I can do it. We can do this.
Try harder. was Summer? Is that one of her the album names? Summertime something.
Wow.
Sometimes that, Lana Del Rey. That's it.
Lana Del Rey. Yeah. 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 I hear that. I hear that.
Had kind of a vibe of Lana Del Rey too.
Yeah. I hear that. Suzanne Santo. If you were listening to that on a modern podcast, that while the API still works, go back and boost. Yes.
hurry
while stocks last. Hey, I'm excited about this, man. I really am. I think this can reinvigorate everything. We can get a lot more people in and the sovereigns can still be very happy. It's the best of both worlds. And I agree. Messy is good. Messy is good. Lots of different options for everybody. And I hope that Franco can find a solution.
Yeah. To me, the real test of podcasting 2.0 in all of its detail has always been and always will be Cast-O-Matic, because Cast-O-Matic
is a serverless
standalone app, and I would include also in that like AntennaPod and other apps that are serverless and purely local installed apps.
Mm-hmm.
They have no back end in the cloud. Those type apps, if they can do it, we've won. Mm-hmm. We've succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
If for every single feature, if it doesn't work in that scenario, then I feel like the feature may still be great and it may still be valuable, but I'll never feel super comfortable with where it landed. I don't know. It's just my own internal way.
I get it. Okay.
Cause that's the true nature of podcasting.
It is wherever you get your podcast.
Yep.
Ah, I feel drained.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what that is. It must be the API.
Maybe you need water.
I want to thank a few people who've been boosting live during the board meeting for today. Silas on Linux, 1000 sats. He says, this is good. I like that V for V music is not filled with dog shit music. This is so good. I'm sure Suzanne Santa will love that boostagram. Silas on Linux again, 2000. I don't even know if live wallet switching works on Fountain. Yeah, it does. It does. It just doesn't show it in Helipad, which is unfortunate. Billy Bones, 333, healing music, he says. And we just got Cole McCormick, 1111. As a non-technical member of the board, I understood nothing in this episode, but love Fountain, Wavelake, and loving Noster, more admittedly. Good.
Is that like an advisory role?
It's important. It's an important role. I don't know anything what you talked about, but I love it. 808 from Salty Crayon. Yo, this, oh, it is an ad, native ad. This Sunday at 6 a.m., special edition of Upbeats. What's special about it? What happens when you combine a book written about drink recipes named after the track names from an album in V for V? Stay tuned. Oh, there's a tease for you.
Stay tuned. Dot, dot, dot.
333 again from C. Brooklyn. 210 from Orange Pilled. Says, I often listen to live YouTube videos, audio only. Yeah, of course. I think a lot of people do. Salty Crayon, 1234. Howdy, boardroom, Dave and Adam. So Sir Libre and I were talking about when sats are expensive. For example, when one sat is $1. How is that going to work for splits? We need a threshold to work for everyone to get a split. 333 sats one day will cost $333. Those lower sats will be more valuable. Thoughts? Why, yes. This is the beauty of Bitcoin. I'm glad you asked. It is infinitely divisible. We will move to millisats. This is where you back me up.
Yes. We will move to millisats.
In fact,
and millisats is already baked into it.
Yeah, it's already baked into it. So you have another 1,000 to work with. So you will be sending 333 millisats.
If we get to the point where one sat equals $1,
we're not working anymore. We're done. Good night.
I will not be on this. I will not be on the other end of this microphone.
We're done. Out. We'll be in our yurt. In El Salvador.
we will probably have bigger problems.
Exactly. Silas and Linux again, 2000 sats. What are the beans to be spilled of the secret society of podcasting 2.0? Well, it's this board meeting, of course. This is where we spill all the tea. Pod 2 with 5000 sats. Nice. From Pod 2. That's Russell. Thanks, Adam and Dave, for everything you both do, and thanks for talking about the L402 and F402 methods we are calling secure RSS. What are you laughing about?
F402. I just think that's a funny name.
We have something huge to announce next week. Oh, well.
Huge.
Huge. It's going to be huge. Then I hit the delimiter. So you are
up. I did not have time to write down the PayPals this morning, so I'm doing them off my email.
We're doing it live. Awkward. We're doing it live. We're doing it live.
We're doing it awkward. $300 from Blueberry, the team over there.
$300? Oh, that deserves
a baller. Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, guys. That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Hey, gents, we've been heads down over here. Keep on cranking. Thankful for what everyone has done in moving the medium forward. The battle is real, and we need to double down on the value of RSS as it's getting lost in the noise. Happy podcasting.
Happy podcasting to you.
Okay. Yeah, see, this is where I lose my flow. $20 from David Beardshaw. No note. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate that, indeed.
Let's see, and we got some boosts. Let me flip back over here. Okay, we got 5,000 sats from Music Mama. That's
hello, Music Mama.
Julie
hello.
Costello.
Yes, hello, Music Mama.
She says, love me some TJ Wong.
That was from the last show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gene Everett, 20,000 sats. He says, happy 200th show. Boost from Gene and Armonk.
Boost. Armonk. Oh, my uncle lives in Armonk. The old Curry family compound in Armonk, New York.
Let's see. Let me flip over here. I got one more. See, looking forward to seeing everyone in Austin. That's also Music Mama, 2500 sats.
Yes, that is December 16th. I got to cut a promo for other podcasts. December 16th, Antone's, Adam Curry's Boostagram Ball Live, Control the Stage, the Mist, the Lights with your boost. It's going to be streamed live on all the modern podcast apps and Toonster. And it's four bands, awesome bands, including local band, FM Rodeo, Ainsley Costello, Just Loud. And by the way, there will be some special guests. Special nice. Guests, yes.
Are you cutting a promo? Like promo?
Yeah, I'm cutting a promo.
For your super secret live stream?
No, not for the super secret live stream, but for other music podcasts. We've got a lot. They actually said, hey, we need a promo. So I got to cut a promo. I'm like, can't believe I hadn't done that already. I feel foolish.
How many of those things would you have to cut for in a single session where you sit down and be like, you know, listen to the top 100 on blah, blah, blah in Kansas City.
Oh, days worth. When I had the Adam Curry's top 30 hit list brought to you by Pepsi and Reebok. Days. And it was always, listen, here we go. Hey, everybody, it's MTV guy Adam Curry. Make sure you listen to my top 30 hit list this weekend on 95 FM, The Eagle.
The Eagle, which is an amazing name for a radio station.
It's Dallas.
You need that.
Believe me, they have it. That's Dallas. Kid Craddock in the morning, everybody. Hi, everybody. It's Adam Curry, MTV guy here. Kid Craddock in the morning. He loves my top 30 hit list on 95 FM, The Eagle. I can still do it. Kid Craddock's dead. Kid Craddock passed, unfortunately. He's no longer with us.
That's a bummer.
He would have loved it. He hears me up there in heaven. He hears me.
Let's see. We got a delimiter. We got Comic Strip Blogger, 16,000 sats. He says,
What does he say now?
I got to conjure comic strip blogger. Howdy, fellow white people, Dave and Adam. Today, I'd like to recommend two podcasts from our fellow white friend, Darren O'Neill. First podcast, www.planetrage.show, a podcast with deep voice Larry, who is 95% Irish and partly Native American, according to 23andMe DNA test. And second one, www.unrelenting.show, with Gene, a Jew, who is mostly Ashkenazi Jew and partly Russian, also according to 23andMe test that he did. Planet Rage is clip show akin to No Agenda, and Unrelenting is uncensored jibber jabber. Both not uninteresting. Yo, CSB.
And both the DNA of Gene and Larry is now probably in hands of China and Russia, since 23andMe is close to going out of business.
Oh, yeah, and like FEMA, the military.
Oh, CIA, NSA, everybody has it. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Everybody's got a piece of that action. Yeah.
For sure.
We got some monthlies. We got Timothy Voice, $10. Thank you, Timothy. We got Satan's Lawyer, Xenor.
Oh, there he is.
Limited for $5 from down under. Thank you. From way down under.
Way
thank
down you, under. From thank the you, fiery pit of down under.
I missed this one on the original. See, this is where I screwed up from my emails not working out. Buzzsprout, $1,000.
Holy moly. Holy moly.
Sakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Keeping the wheels turning here at Podcast Index. Thank you, Buzzsprout brothers. Thank you, now, and sisters.
I sent a boost to Buzzcast last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not read my boost on the show this week.
No. Don't you know how they work over there? You got to send the boost, then you have to use their text message system.
Oh, you got to text them and say, "Hey, I sent you a boost."
Copy paste yeah. in your message,
and write in there how many sats it was. Yeah, I guess. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, very much. Really appreciate it.
Oystein Berg, $5.
Thank you, Oystein.
So we got Charles Current, $5. Thank you, Charles. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. I think Cohen is, I think he's involved with Antennapod, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right.
Regardless, thank you.
Yeah. And that's it. That's our group.
All right. Thank you all very much. Value for value, the entire podcastindex.org project, this program, Adam and Dave take nothing. We use the Bitcoin to fund the node for liquidity. If you need some, hit me up. I'm happy to do it. Fees are low right now. At least they were this morning. So happy to help you. And everything else goes into the treasury to keep, to ensure that podcastindex.org, its API, its scrapers and parsers. And we have to talk about that fast feed parser on the next show. But I want to know if you had a chance to experiment with that. Probably not.
No, I sent it to Alex. He was looking at it, giving me some
feedback
on it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The official podcasting 2.0 consultant.
Yeah, he's hardcore Python guy.
So. Beautiful. Not so low now, says Cotton Gin. Doesn't matter. I'll still open it to you. It's all right. Yep. As long as it's not 110 sats V bytes, you know, that's like it gets kind of expensive, but
it's what we do.
It's who we are. All right, Dave Jones, my brother from another mother. Thank you so much for today and for all the work you do. I appreciate all that you do. I really do.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate you. We will get through this.
We will.
Everyone hug.
And share a secret. Thank you very much, Boardroom. Remember to be back here next Friday on 95 FM, The Eagle, for another 2.0 board meeting.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Try harder.